The Round Robin is the ground floor bar of the Willard Intercontinental Hotel. It usually has two or more lobbyists in it feeding expensive intoxicants to members of Congress as an expression of their admiration.
And you went? Castillo asked.
I even put on a clean shirt and tie. I was prepared to make any sacrifice for the OOA. In the end, I was glad I went. Mr. Ellsworth said all kinds of nice things to me.
Such as?
He told me, in confidence, of course, how happy Ambassador Montvale and he are that I'm in OOA, where I can serve as a wise and calming influence on the brilliant but somewhat impetuous C. Castillo. After all, he said, we all have the same responsibility to make sure the president is never embarrassed.
That son of a bitch, Castillo grunted, but there was more admiration in his voice than anger.
I did admit to having concerns about your impetuousness, Taurine said. And then he told me, as if the thought had just come to him, that if something like that came up, perhaps if he and the ambassador knew about it.
And you, of course, agreed to call him?
I was reluctant at first. He didn't push. What he did say was that he thought OOA was going to not only be around for a while, but grow in size and importance. And that being true, it would need someone more senior than a junior lieutenant colonel.
An impetuous junior lieutenant colonel?
Taurine nodded. To run it. A brigadier general, for example. And wasn't I eligible for promotion?
And then you blushed modestly?
Uh-huh. And I think we parted with him thinking I thought he and I had an understanding.
I don't know if I'm amused or disgusted, Castillo said. But his job is to protect his boss, who, like us, has an obligation to keep the president from being embarrassed. And I am a junior lieutenant colonel, an impetuous one. He really would be happier if you had this job.
Moot point, Charlie. You were there when the president, before the finding, asked me if I would have any trouble working for you. I didn't have any problem working for you then, and I don't have one now. Most important, your name is on the finding setting up OOA, not mine. The commander-in-chief has spoken.
Castillo met his eyes for a moment, but said nothing at first. Then he asked, so did you get us this Gulfstream jockey you talked into staying in the Air Force?
He'll be here at 3. I told him to bring a toothbrush, as you would probably want to go somewhere.
As hard as it may be for any of you to believe, there are several minor but as yet unresolved little problems with my grand master plan. For one thing, I don't know where Special Agent Timmons is being held, or by who. And once I get the H models into Uruguay, I don't know what to do with them. And I can't keep them in Shangri-La long. Chief Inspector Ordonez, I'm sure, has the local cops keeping an eye on it. Which means that I'm going to have to get Munz to get his pal Ordonez to look the other way. Briefly. Even if, big if, Ordonez is willing to do that, he won't do it for long. Which means I will have to get the choppers out of Uruguay quickly. Pevsner has at least one estancia in Argentina. Maybe more than one. If I can find him, another big if, maybe that'll be the answer. And then there's this small problem I have with the agency.
An old problem? Taurine said. Or a new one?
The new one. Didn't Miller tell you?
Deschamps did. If you're talking about this Weiss guy coming here?
Castillo nodded. He went on. I don't believe for a second, of course, that the agency would even think of fucking up something I'm doing to protect something that they're doing.
Perish the thought, Taurine said in agreement. What the hell is that all about, Edgar?
Which brings us to my little tete-a-tete with the DCI, Deschamps said. The bottom line of which is that he's either a much better liar than I think he is, or he doesn't know what Weiss and company are up to in Paraguay.
How did you come to have a little tete-a-tete with the DCI? Castillo said.
Well, there I was, rooting around in the bowels of the palace in Langley, and all of a sudden I looked up and there he was. Ed Delchamp, right? He asked and put out his hand. I'm Jack Powell. I picked up right away on that. Here was John Powell, the director of Central Intelligence, wanting to make kissy-kissy with a dinosaur slash pariah, which I found interesting. So I enthusiastically pumped his hand and told him I was really pleased to meet him, Mr. Director, sir.
Leverett chuckled deep in his throat.
So, Jack asked me if I had time for a cup of coffee, and I said, I always have time for you, Mr. Director, sir, or words to that effect, thinking we would then take the elevator to his office where I would either be charmed or terminated. Wrong. He takes me to a little room in the bowels, furnished with chrome and plastic tables and chairs and a row of machines offering candy bars, snacks, Coke, and coffee dispensed in plastic cups. It is where the filing cabinet moles go to rest from their labors. One look at who had just dropped in the room emptied of file clerks in 30 seconds flat. There we are, alone, holding plastic cups of lukewarm, undrinkable coffee. Two pals slash co-workers in the noble, never-ending effort to develop intel against our enemies. And he told you how happy he was that you were in a position to restrain the impetuosity of our Charlie? Taurean asked. Delchamp took a sip of his drink, then said, No, I expected something like that, but that's not what happened. What he said was that he understood there had been problems and disagreements in the past, and that he wasn't going to pretend he wished I hadn't changed my mind about retiring, or that he was happy I was in the building with an any area, any time pass hanging around my neck. But that's what's happened. More important, that's what Montvale ordered.
Delchamp stopped, and after a moment went on.
He was even honest about that. He said something about Montvale having ordered him to let me in only because the president had told him to, and that Montvale probably didn't like it any more than he did. Then he said, But the point is, the president gave that order, and I have taken an oath to obey the orders of those appointed over me, and I don't intend to violate that oath.